Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 289, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Ye children of God's covenant, who of his grace have heard, forget not all his wondrous deeds and judgments of his word. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 289.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second book of Moses called Exodus, and thereof the third chapter. Exodus chapter 3, first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go, and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou, and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that, when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who has drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents who wish to present their children for baptism to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. And that it then may be made manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge and that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And what is your answer, Father and Mother Alleman? Father Busicum, Father and Mother Grisnick, Father and Mother Gulliker. I now ask the mothers to please be seated. Dear parents, we have just heard that Moses has gone here through the desert with his flock. He was leading his flock here near to Mount Horeb. And then he saw this sight. He saw a bush that was burning. That was not a very common thing. And you need something to start that fire. And thus we hear that Moses, he is drawn. His attention is drawn to see what is here happening. And as Moses is looking, then he sees that this becomes an even more remarkable thing, because this bush, though that it is burning, it says it is not consumed. And therefore, his attention that is being drawn even further towards what he sees. And then we read, he says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Thus he has turned aside. He turned aside from what? He turned aside from his flock, from doing the daily labors of his hands. And you, fathers and mothers, you are also very busy. You have one child or many children, and therefore you have a little flock that you are leading here in this world. But now we ask you if you ever turn aside. If you ever turn aside from that flock to see this great sight, the Bible calls it, this great sight of a bush that is burning and is not consumed. Maybe we turn aside for just for an hour, for a Sabbath day. We turn aside to come for an hour to God's house, or we turn aside when we eat for a moment, before, after, or maybe even we turn aside when we are doing the labors of our hands each day, and that we need to turn aside for a moment. And now we read here that this thing is a bush; it is not a tall tree. And that is a picture of God's church. That is not the great in this world, but it is those who are weak, the apostle says, those who are despised in the world. And that is a picture of his church, this bush. And this bush is now burning, and that is also a picture. That is a picture of affliction and persecution and trial and tribulation that is upon the church of God. What do we read in the Word of God? We read that I have chosen you, the Lord says, in the furnace of affliction. The children of Israel felt this furnace of affliction. Because they were under the hand of a very cruel tyrant who wanted to keep them under. But we read that he actually was frustrated because there was nothing that he could do. He could not carry out his purpose. We read particularly that the more that they were afflicted, the more that the children of Israel increased, and the more that they grew. Did you ever notice that now? Did you ever now turn aside to see this? This is a very remarkable thing. That is here representing the church of God. And now to turn aside from all of our work for a moment and to inquire, how now can this remarkable thing be, and that that true church of God can burn and can be afflicted and can be in trial and in under persecution and still not be consumed? Do you know what the Lord said to Barak? Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For I will bring evil upon all flesh, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whithersoever thou goest. That is now the true church of God. But you know what we read here? We read the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. Do you know, fathers and mothers, and that the Lord sees you when you turn aside? When you turn aside from your flock for a moment, and when you want just to see, when you want to behold, when you want to know why that this is the great mystery of that true church of God and how that they are extended here in the midst of this world. And then we read something else. We read, when Moses turned aside to see, we read, the Lord called unto him. The Lord spoke unto him. And that is now the experience of the true church. When the Lord gives a father, a mother, and that is now so important as we try to bring up our children, that there is this desire in the heart of father and mother, a desire to know who is that true church and who is now preserving that true church and all the mysteries that are involved in that true church. And when they are turning aside, sometimes just for a moment, and when they are going in their inner chamber on their knees, that the Lord is coming and that the Lord is speaking. And these are the things that church sometimes can tell. Are you able also to tell a little something? Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. When we may turn aside for a moment, when we may bow our knees for a moment, then it is holy ground. Because there we may meet the Lord. And now so the Lord will have us to approach also in this afternoon hour unto this sacrament with our children. For a moment that the Lord says, put off thy shoes from thy feet, because here is holy ground. When we are turned aside this day, in the house of God, round about the truth of God and his church, then the Lord speaks here, and the Lord speaks here in this sacrament, because that is now a picture of how that we may be received again into favor with that true and that holy God. He speaks, the holy God, unto an unholy people. O the Lord, give us to approach unto this fount with great reverence, with a desire for a moment that the Lord would speak in it, and that I might hear his voice concerning that blood of his dear son and the application thereof. May it be for us and for his children. May the Lord give us to hear his voice in it. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 243, the sixth stanza. And after baptism, we ask the congregation to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. So Psalter 243, the sixth stanza. For him my mercy shall endure. My covenant made with him is sure. His throne and race I will maintain forever, while the heavens remain. Stanza 6 of 243. Jaden Trevor, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Isabel Maya, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Raina Nicole, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Ella Lintia, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Iris Gemma, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Arlo, Stephen, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Chloe, Alyssa, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Remember and strengthen these parents in that most holy duty which they have just promised, which is for them an impossible matter. But Lord, thou thyself art able to give to them all that is necessary therein, and that is in the first place within their own hearts. Look upon them in the education of their children, and that they may receive that wisdom and instruction from heaven, and that they might know what to speak unto them, but not only what to speak, but how to live before them and in their sight day after day, whom their children will follow so often for the rest of their life. Oh, that thou may give unto grandparents and also great-grandparents, humble hearts, when they might see their seed also in this day, that are brought with an oath before thee. Oh, that they might also beseech thee that thou wouldest fulfill for their seed what they cannot give unto them, that there may be continual prayer at the throne of grace for the children of the congregation, for Satan would have them. O Lord, thou art only stronger than he, and we feel so often our weakness against sin, Satan, and this world. Oh, that thou thyself may show thy strength, and that thy work may become evident in the midst of our congregation. Wilt thou thyself also look upon all those that have no children? Lord, thou knowest the place where they dwell. Oh, that thou may give them supply from heaven under all thy will and way, and that thou couldest gladden them with thy deeds, may it be even in a blessed subjection. Oh, that thou mayest look upon all the needy and all that are afflicted, those also that have lost children. For thou knowest the arrow that goes continually into their hearts. Wilt thou be on the right and left of all those that mourn, and give that this also what thou dost picture before our eyes may be the object of a holy jealousy this day, and that we might learn both young and old together to forsake the world and every former friend, and that we may obtain this most coveted blessing. Wilt thou, who knoweth the future, guide the future? Thou didst declare the future unto thy servant Moses. Thou didst say to him what was going to take place. We do not know the future. We know we have to die. We know we have to stand before thee. We know the future in this world is short. We know the future of eternity is long. But we do not know what will happen yet upon this short journey, our little pathway. O thou who hast the future in thy hands, who not only knowest it, but who also hast decreed it, and who in thy providence bringest it all to pass, give us to lay with our children at thy footstool, and that we may acknowledge that all that thou doest is right and good, and that it may be our chief concern, not and that we go with ease through this life, but that we with ease may pass out of it. Help thou us in this hour. Wilt thou be a present with thy spirit in a rich measure? Give freedom and place for thy word. Oh, that there may be hearts that are ready to drink and to eat that spiritual meat and drink, and give us the ability to bring it forth. And because thou gavest a little few fishes to thy disciples, and they did multiply in the handing out. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord, who are not able to feed this great multitude, but thou art able. We beseech it of thee in these moments, forgiving and taking away all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 421. 421, stanzas 4 and 6. From strength to strength, thy children dear, go forward till they all appear in Zion's courts, God's holy mountain. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home. Psalter 421, stanzas 4 and 6. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Exodus chapter 3, and thereof the 14th verse. Exodus 3, verse 14, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." So far the words of our text. The declaration of the name of the Lord. First, to whom it is declared. And second, the name which is declared. The declaration of the name of the Lord. First, to whom it is declared. And second, the name which is declared. Thus, to whom it is declared, that is, in the first place, unto Moses. And God said unto Moses. Secondly, and he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. Thus it is to Moses and to the children of Israel. And what do Moses and the children of Israel have in common? That is, that they are all under oppression. That is, Israel in Egypt and Moses in Midian. Because, children, you know, Moses actually was a fugitive where he is, right? He is now 40 years. He cannot go back to see his family. And his beloved people know, because there they are waiting to kill him. So it is Israel and to Moses. Israel in Egypt is a picture. Israel is a spiritual picture. We have heard a little bit already. And you know, young people, that there are steps in grace. You believe that, right? There are some that say, no, there are no steps in grace. That is foolishness. We read here of the children of Israel that they are in bondage. Thus, this is a picture of the true church. They are also in bondage. They come under the law. And when they are under the law, they are never able to fulfill that law, just like the children of Israel. They can work and work and work, but they can never obtain. Pharaoh, he will keep them low. Thus Pharaoh's motive, that is very clearly declared in the scriptures, that he will not have them to rise. They must stay low, and they must be always kept to be bond servants and maid servants. There was a time that the children of Israel were happy in the land of Egypt. We can read that they look back to a happy time. That was a time that we read they said they enjoyed the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Everything that Egypt had to offer. And they were happy. But it could not stay that way. Why not? Because this is the Lord's people. And that was not the land that was promised unto them, unto Abraham. And by the Lord himself, the Lord said he is going to bring them up. He is going to bring them out of that land of Egypt again. And Pharaoh was an instrument in the hand of the Lord that he may fulfill this purpose to bring his children out of that land. And then in the first place, then that land had to become a burden to them. And that they had to desire and that they would be delivered from this land of Egypt, that they could depart out of this land. Congregation, by nature, we are happy in the world, aren't we? You happy, boys and girls? young people, you're happy. What has to change? You say, nothing. Nothing. Because I have everything here I want. I have my toys, not just when we are young, also when we are older. All the things we want that we can enjoy and have pleasure in this world in which we are living. Question today. Did it ever become a burden? Did it ever become a burden? Your life. Your life in the midst of the world in which that you are dwelling. That has to happen in our life. If that doesn't happen in our life, we are never going to desire to have anything, those things that this life is not able to offer unto us. This life in Egypt became a very toilsome servitude. Very slowly, that servitude is increasing in its intensity. And that is coming, it is working so high that finally, oh, then it seems like that people, they're going to be destroyed there. They're going to die there as a people. All the men child, they have to be thrown into the river. That will be the end of the existence of the children of Israel. And indeed, God had promised to bring them out of that land. Because he had said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be in a stranger in a land that they do not know. But the Lord says that he is also going to deliver them. They shall come out of that land, he says, with great substance. And when Jacob will go down into that land, he has evidently bent his knees. And then the Lord has come to him and put away his fears. He says, fear not to go down into the land of Egypt, because there I will make a great nation of thee. And I will also go down with thee. And I will surely bring thee up again. And now we read about Joseph. When he was on his deathbed, that he spoke to the children of Israel, to all of his brethren, and said, God will surely visit you. And then you also must take up my bones from this place, carry them up with you that they may be buried in the promised land, not here in Egypt. I think as long as the children of Israel were enjoying the fish and the melons and the cucumbers and the onions, they were not thinking about this promise. They were not thinking about this promise. They were just enjoying everything that they had there to enjoy. What would there be that would make them desire to leave such a beautiful and such an abundant land as this land of Egypt? But now the Lord knows how to make them think upon the promise of the Lord. He knows how to make them desire it. He knows how to make them long that the promise of the Lord and may be fulfilled. And now, congregation, what is the promise of the Lord to us by nature? What is that to us? Every day, what is the promise of the Lord, you say? Yeah. Do we seek that out? What the Lord promises to his church? Or have we no desire for it? Because as long as we are able to enjoy all the pleasures that we have in this world, what is now there to make us desire to be delivered from this world? Did the Lord ever make you think upon it? Did the Lord ever make you desire it? Did the Lord ever give you to long that the promises of the Lord may be fulfilled also for you and for your children? When the Lord appeared to Moses, he said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You know, Moses had to say to the children of Israel, you must tell the children of Israel, he says, I have surely visited you. Is there not something, children? You must tell the children of Israel, I have surely visited you. The Lord says, I have come down. You do not know that. You do not realize that, my people. But I have been among you. I have been going in and out among you. I have been very near unto you. And I have seen your daily life. Will you want the Lord to see your daily life? The Lord says this to his people, to his afflicted church. Surely, I have seen everything that the enemy, that the Egyptians are doing unto you. Oh, the Lord is so near to his people. He is so near unto those who sigh and who cry under all the abominations, not only of the land, but also in their hearts. He is so near when they do not realize that they need to be told. And the Lord, he is giving them sometimes to feel that though they did not even realize it, the Lord, he was so near unto me. What kind of people is this? That the Lord had come and visited and he was so near to, that is a guilty people. They are a people who know for themselves that they have found enjoyment in the things that they should not have found enjoyment. They have enjoyed those pleasures of sin for a season. They feel that now. They have despised the Lord. They have despised the word of the Lord, and they have left God and his word to the side. They could do without him as they did enjoy all these pleasures of Egypt. And now, they are now in bondage, and they are not able now to deliver themselves from this bondage. Why? Because they experienced something. That enemy. These Egyptians, they are so much stronger than they are. The Israelites had to experience the strength of Pharaoh. They had to experience that Pharaoh was the king. Oh, congregation, do you ever experience this? All that sin. You know, sin and the world and Satan, that is not just gotten rid of with a wish. With a wish. No, the Bible says that is a warfare. And that warfare is a warfare, but in that church is often afraid that they are going to lose that battle. That they are going to succumb to the enemy. So They have to feel something. How strong that this enemy is. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? That is congregation evidence of instruction that the Lord has given unto Pharaoh and unto Moses in the last 40 years. What happens to a man if the Lord will instruct him? Well, then he will be humbled, greatly humbled, as Moses here. 40 years ago, he already felt something of a calling. That was a calling actually from the Lord. And Moses was ready. But it was not the Lord's time. The Lord says, no, Moses, you need more instruction. He was given instruction in the providence of the Lord in the house of Pharaoh. There he learned to read and he learned to write. It's a blessing, children, young people. Do you do your best when the Lord gives in his providence this instruction to you? The Lord gave that also to Moses. He needed that because he would be used as a tool in the Lord's hand, that he would write the first 5 books of the Bible. And thus, when the Lord is giving his blessing upon all the education, the Lord can use that so for his own church. But now the Lord says, Moses, you need more than that. Moses, you need instruction in how to be a shepherd, how to lead a flock. And so the Lord is driving Moses into the desert for that instruction. 40 years ago already, Moses was ready to fight with his own hand. Oh, he had a great zeal. He was going to deliver the church of God that is out of the oppression. Oh, that boiled up in his heart when he saw the people of the Lord being oppressed under the hand of these taskmasters. Oh, he was ready, and now he was not ready anymore. He's now 80 years old. He says, I am of a slow tongue. And he has been now outside of that society of Israel and the Egyptians for 40 long years. He has no strength left in himself. He has no words left. He has no wisdom left. And it even seems like the desire. The desire that has been dried up in the desert. But that is not all. Because what does he say? He says, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Congregation, Moses is not a novice. No, he has experience. When the Lord is sending him, he is thinking in his thoughts, and they are going back to 40 years ago. And he had approached. He had approached his own people. And he thought that his own people were going to accept him, that they were going to be so glad. He obviously had a place in Pharaoh's house. somehow he could be a great instrument for the deliverance of the children of Israel. And what was their answer? Who made thee a judge and a ruler over us? They say, where is your authority? Where does that authority come from? And at that time, Moses had no answer. The Lord was indeed preparing him for the time that was coming in the future. But now that calling, he could not so easily speak about it. He felt something. And that feeling was true. But that calling and that sending that the Lord is actually, that isn't there yet. And now the Lord says, come. Come. And I will send thee unto Pharaoh. That is now clear. And now Moses, he needs an answer. He needs an answer to this question about authority. Who is now sending you, that he may be able now to give an answer to that same question that he was asked so many years ago? Moses, he felt something of the calling at that time, but he was so discouraged in it. And I think now he gave it all up for wrong. 40 years later? Well, that must have been completely wrong. And now the Lord says, Moses, it is time. It is time. And he says, certainly I will be with thee. And then he declares to Moses his name. That was for his own sake, but not only for his own sake, but also for the sake of the children of Israel. He has to declare this name unto the children of Israel. But let us sing a moment. Verse 210, stanzas 3 and 4. Recalling days when faith was bright, when songs of gladness filled my night, I pondered o'er my grievous woes, and searching questioning arose, will God cast off and nevermore his favor to my soul restore? 3 and 4 of 210. the declaration of the name of the Lord, first to whom it is declared, second the name which is declared. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. What is that? That is actually an explanation of the name of Jehovah. That was the name that the Lord had revealed himself to Abraham so many years before. I am that I am. I am independent. Thus I depend on no one else. I am self-existent. That is, there is no one that has brought me into existence. I have always existed. I am that I am. I am before all things. In me all things consist. I am that I am, that is, I am immutable, that I am unchanging, that I always am the being that I am. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. This is my name forever. Then he speaks about his name, who he is in his divinity, who he is in his existence, in his divine being, that he actually is what he is called, what he calls himself, that he is his names. This is my name forever. And that name is not able to change one iota. But he says also, this is my memorial unto all generations. Then he is speaking about something that is not objective, but what is subjective. That is, how my name will be known unto men. How it will be known from generation to generation. How my name is going to be experienced. And by my own children. Because I am going to lead men to know my name. And to know the mystery of my being. I am going to lead them to know me and that unchangeable character. And that is myself. I am that I am. Oh, there is nothing so stable, we would say. There is nothing so unwavering as God is. Heaven and earth shall pass away. He says, my word shall never pass away. Oh, this declaration of that name of the Lord is a very, very great value to Moses and to the children of Israel as they are in their afflictions. It was 400 years ago that the Lord has spoken unto Abraham. And he has given a promise to Abraham. Now 400 years later, 400 years, the Lord comes back. What has changed? Nothing? Nothing? That is just the same as it was 400 years ago. Thus, decades, centuries can go over that word of the Lord. But the Lord says, I am that I am. Thus, times and seasons have no effect upon me. Thus, that word is as the word that I have spoken that word yesterday, or that I have spoken that word today. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He is above, he is beyond, he is on the outside of time that he himself has created. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. No, Moses, you were not mistaken when you have perceived what I have put in your heart 40 years ago. And my providences, they have led you as a fugitive. There you mourned for 40 years in separation from my people and from your people. Where you have despaired that you may ever be able to help my people, but I am that I am, and I have not changed. And now I send you to the children of Israel, that you may say unto them, I am hath sent me unto you. And you must tell my afflicted people that my word that I have spoken 400 years ago remains, and that I have not forgotten my word, as you have often forgotten my word. O congregation, the work of the Lord does not go overnight. Believe that, young people. It doesn't go overnight in nature. It doesn't go overnight in grace. No, that is all according to the law of the farm. And you know, a farmer, he has one purpose, right? And then there are seasons, and he is going through those seasons. And as he goes through all those seasons, all that one purpose, all there are many things changing, but there are certain things that are not changing. That is his purpose. And he has that purpose in his mind. He has that purpose in his heart. And then that is not happening overnight. No. It has to go down. It has to go down. It has to go deeper. Because there in the earth, that's where there comes stability. That's where the nutrients, they need to come up from the soil. And it is out of the depths, and that plant, it has to be fed. That it needs to be nourished, and that it needs to slowly grow. With the rain from the skies, that it may bring forth nutritious fruit. That is not only for the natural farmer, No, that is also for the spiritual sower of that word of God. When that seed is sown, then we are not expecting that immediately, that that is coming up and that it may be seen above the ground. But, oh, congregation, we are hoping. We are hoping that there is some working under the ground. Is there some working under the ground? Is there some working where it is dark? Is there some working in the inner chamber where no one is able to see you? That is the way the Lord is working. That is with his own grace. That is not according to our flesh. That it goes down. No, our flesh rebels against such a way. The children indeed of Israel had hearkened to Moses. You can read further in the history. And that is so beautiful when he goes to them and then he speaks to them. And then those children of Israel, we read, they are glad. Oh, when they heard that the Lord had visited them. The Lord had visited them. Do you know what the psalmist says? Oh, the Lord thinketh upon me. And that is now what's making that people so glad. And when they say the Lord has looked upon them in their affliction, it can be so good. It can be so good for that people who are yet even under the law. The Lord is coming and the Lord is visiting. And the Lord is sometimes giving an encouragement that they may continue on in all of their discouragements, because when it comes to the law, it is all discouraging, isn't it? Gonna keep it. It takes a long time to learn it. What I have become in my deep fall. Oh, it can be so good. Do you know what we read about the children of Israel? We read that they worshiped. Oh, when they heard that the Lord had visited them, then they fell down on their faces and they worshiped God. Did you ever worship God? When the Lord had given to you just a little token, maybe, or a little heart melting. When he's given you a little encouragement out of his holy word. Oh, that heart that is so hard that it may only break under the goodness of the Lord, and you may go into your inner chamber and you may fall upon your face and you may worship him. Then it is good. Then it is good, and you want to go back to the place where you have received such a blessed thing. But it is not yet deliverance. It is not yet deliverance. And for the children of Israel, the afflictions had still to increase, to increase. No straw. Still, we must deliver that tail of bricks. And then they feel the strength of that enemy. That enemy is mocking them. The enemy ever mock you? Did sin ever mock you? Did sin ever say to you, I will have dominion over you. I've had that dominion. I have that dominion. And you will never come out of my grip. Ever mocking? And then sometimes you may look back at those encouragements. And you say, it seems even like those encouragements mock me. Because now it says in my heart, where is now thy God? And you spoke about it to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your parents. You spoke about it. You were so glad. And now look, because it doesn't get better, but it gets worse. And then the Lord doesn't help me. Oh, the Lord doesn't help me. And I thought that the Lord was going to help me. And then we can even congregation raise our fist to heaven. Because that's what we read here about the children of Israel. They come to Moses and they say, the Lord hasn't delivered us at all. Oh, we don't know what's in our heart until the Lord makes the dirt come out. Then we learn a little bit what's in our heart. What do we read about Jonah? He says, I do well to be angry. O congregation, that is now what is living in the heart of a man. And now through all this, the Lord changes not. He's just steadfast. He just has one purpose. That is to deliver his people from sin, from Satan, and from the world. And it is going to be a great deliverance. And now the Lord says, I have surely seen my people which are in Egypt. I have seen their affliction. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, by reason of the law. And he says, I know their sorrows. Does he know your sorrows? Do you know your sorrows? Do you know your sorrows? If you know your sorrows, then in your conscience you say, O Lord, thou knowest what my sorrows are. And now what does the Lord say to that people? He says, I am that I am. He says, my covenant will I not break. I will not alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. No, though many years, decades have gone over it. Oh, he says, my people, they're going to know that I am the Lord their God, and that I have brought them out of that land of Egypt. They're going to know it. And I'm going to manifest my name unto them. And I am going to receive thereby all the honor and all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant did say, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until it receive the early and the latter rain. And thou knowest the impatience of thy people. O, look upon those that do suffer affliction under that demanding law, and who are not able to deliver themselves from it. Oh, we need to be cut off from ourselves, and we need to go through the sea, and we need that thou wouldest reveal thy own might and thy own power over that triple-headed enemy. We need to be delivered. Oh, look upon each one of us, for thou wilt surely do it. And that sign is upon our foreheads. Oh, that we may be given to see the stability that thou art as a rock, that thou art as a mountain that standeth firm. when all times do pass over it. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. And give that also in this week that we have entered, thought and meditation may be our lot, and that we may go into our inner chambers by ourselves, and that there we may complain to thee of our own iniquity, our own lost state and condition, that there may be deliverance for us also. Do forgive and take away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing Psalter is 439, the first two stanzas. O Israel's God, how good thou art to all the true and pure of heart. Though paths of saints are fraught with evil, thou showest favor to thy people. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 439. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.